Let's read in the Word of God. We are studying Luke's Gospel in our morning worship, and we come to some of Christ's most penetrating teaching here at verse 49. Luke chapter 12 and verse 49. Jesus said, "I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am constrained until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For henceforth, in one house, there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against her mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." He also said to the multitudes, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, 'A shower is coming,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. To his name be the honor and the praise. We turn this morning to think of three verses from Luke chapter 12, verses 49, 50, and 51. And by universal agreement, these verses hold some of the most penetrating and searching things ever spoken by Christ. These three verses all have to do with the purpose of Christ's coming to earth, the purpose of his appearing, and the purpose of his entire work and ministry. And he says in verse 49, "I have come to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled." Secondly, he says in verse 50, "I have come to be baptized with a special kind of baptism. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am constrained until it is accomplished." And thirdly, in verse 51, he says, "I have come to bring division. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." And there you have the three purposes of Christ's coming. I have come to cast fire on the earth. I have come to be baptized with a baptism. I have come to bring division. Or as the parallel passages say in the other Gospels, I have come to bring a sword. And one can think of these three in pictorial terms. There is the fire in verse 49. There is the baptism in verse 50. And there is the sword in verse 51. And of these three, it is the baptism that is central. The fire that Jesus came to cast on the earth, whatever that means, and the sword that Jesus came to bring are in fact byproducts of the baptism. It is through the baptism with which Christ was baptized that he casts fire on the earth and brings a sword into men's lives. The fire that Jesus casts and the sword that Jesus brings are byproducts of the baptism with which he was baptized. And I take these three in turn. First of all, the fire. In verse 49, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. And the question arises, what kind of fire is this that Jesus has in mind? Is he speaking here about the qualities of fire in general? Or does he have a special kind of fire in mind? And of course, various suggestions have been made as to what this fire is that Jesus comes to cast. One suggestion is that Jesus is speaking about the fire of spiritual enthusiasm, the fire of zeal for God and for the things of God, zeal for the Word of God and a passion for the work of the gospel. The fire of enthusiasm. It's the sort of zeal that was referred to by old Professor Cairns of Christ College in Aberdeen. Dr. Joseph Hromadka, the leading Czech Presbyterian churchman, visited Aberdeen just before the war, and he and Professor Cairns were out for a walk. And Joseph Hromadka was going through a very difficult spell. He was downcast, depressed, uncertain, and he's lost his grip of Christian realities. And he knew that the war was coming. And so Hromadka turned to Cairns and he asked, "Do you think I'm a Christian?" And Cairns replied, "Yes, I think probably you are a Christian, but you're not a very enthusiastic one." He lacked fire, zeal, passion. "I have come to cast fire on the earth," says Jesus. And it may well be that that's the kind of fire he has in mind. Another suggestion is that Jesus is speaking of the fire of the gospel, that burning message of grace which raced through the ancient world of despair and darkness. Professor F.F. Bruce, in his book on the history of the early church, calls it the spreading flame. It may well be that that was the kind of fire that Jesus came to cast. Another suggestion is that Jesus is referring to the coming of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, the story of the day of Pentecost, we read that when the Spirit of God came down in power and in conviction, he came as fire, and the apostles were anointed with tongues of fire. And interestingly enough, the Greek word for fire is the word pur, P-U-R. I came to cast pur, fire, on the earth. And that word P-U-R is the root of many English words. To purge, P-U-R, is to cleanse with fire. To purify, P-U-R, is to cleanse with fire. To expurgate, P-U-R, is to remove impurities, originally by putting them through the fire. And it may well be that this is what Jesus has in mind, the coming of the fire of the Spirit to convict men and women of their sins and of their need for a Savior. The power of the Spirit to burn out impurities in our lives. I have come to cast fire on the earth. And so the fire that Jesus has in mind may be any of these. The fire of enthusiasm, do you have it? The fire of the gospel, do you have it? Fire of the Spirit, do you have it? But many of the scholars feel that none of these quite reaches the truth. You see, fire in the Bible is associated with the judgment of God on human sin. And in fact, you do not need to read very far into the Bible to find fire and judgment standing alongside each other. Sodom and Gomorrah in the book of Genesis were brought to the judgment of fire for their sins. In Numbers chapter 16, we find three men, Abiram, Dathan, and Korah, leading a revolt against Moses and questioning his God-ordained leadership. They died in an earthquake, and their supporters were destroyed by the fire of divine judgment. Fire and judgment on sin are never far from each other in the Bible. As Isaiah says in chapter 66 of his prophecy, the Lord will come in fire to render his anger in fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire the Lord will execute judgment. And here is Jesus saying, I have come to cast fire on the earth. And it's this kind of fire. It is God's judgment on human sin. And would that it were already kindled. Jesus is looking forward to his death on the cross, and Jesus consistently thinks of his death as a work of judgment on sin. John 9, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world." John 12, "Now is the judgment of this world." Cross. "Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show by what death he was to die. You see, the cross of Jesus is not firstly a revelation of the love of God, because it is a revelation of the love of God. The cross of Jesus is a revelation of what God thinks of sin. Simply by hanging there, Jesus was casting the fire of divine judgment on earth. Simply by hanging there, he is the touchstone and the criterion between life and death, between grace and judgment, between heaven and hell, between eternal salvation or eternal loss. And that was the fire that Jesus came to cast on the earth. Secondly, the baptism. In verse 50, Jesus said, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am constrained until it is established." What baptism is this? Well, there are two things here. First is this. Jesus is still speaking about the cross when he speaks about baptism. "I have a baptism to be baptized with." And in the comparable passage in Mark chapter 10, Jesus specifically says that Calvary for him is going to be a baptism of death. Now, you know that the death that Jesus died was a very special kind of death. It's not like the death that we die. When we die, we fall asleep. And we speak of the dead as sleeping. We say, "He's gone to his rest. He has fallen asleep." But the death that Jesus died wasn't asleep. It was death. It was the death of deaths. It was the death of sin. It was a special kind of death. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And the death that he died was not our kind of death. It was real death. It was the death of separation from God. Jesus, in Mark 10, is looking forward to his cross and the baptism. And while he's thinking of the suffering and the passion, James and John are arguing about what they're going to get in the next world. They want thrones and jewelry, crowns, status, robes, and rewards. And so they come to Jesus. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Carte blanche. And Jesus said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, well, when the kingdom comes, grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand on thrones in your glory. Jesus said to them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am to be baptized? They said to him, we are able. Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you will drink. James was executed. John was banished to Patmos. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant. It is for those for whom it has been prepared. And that's the first point. Jesus went to Calvary to be baptized with death. With my death, with your death, with the sinner's death. Second thing is this. The idea of baptism holds the idea of immersion. One writer says that the basic notion of Christ being baptized with death is the notion of going under. And in fact, the word constrained in verse 50, how I am constrained until this baptism is accomplished. It can be translated overwhelmed. Jesus went to die, and in his death, he is to be overwhelmed by my death, by your death, by the sinner's death. He's going to be immersed in death. David says in the crucifixion psalm, Psalm 42, all thy waves and billows have gone over me. That's the voice of Christ on the cross. That is the meaning of the cross. The waves and the billows of God's judgment went over Jesus. He was baptized with death for sinners. He was overwhelmed by death for their sakes. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am overwhelmed until it is accomplished. And lastly, the sword, verse 51. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Commentators tell us that this verse is what the Jewish rabbis used to call a mashal, M-A-S-H-A-L. And a mashal is a paradoxical saying that sounds unbelievable. Do you think I've come to bring peace? Said gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Not peace, but a sword. Didn't he come to bring peace? Peace with God and peace with man? Didn't Isaiah see him as the Prince of Peace? Wasn't his death a peacemaking work? What's all this about a sword? Well, the paradox is that when the living Christ, the peacemaker, gets into men's hearts, he often brings a sword. Did you know that three times it says in John's Gospel, chapters 7, 9, and 10, there was a division among the people because of him. Because of him. That is true of homes and families which can be divided because of Christ. Jesus speaks about three for him and two against him, or two for him and three against him. It's true of marriages which can be divided because of Christ. Not peace, but a sword. And it's certainly true of churches. Because when the living, dynamic Christ comes alive in a church, especially if it's a church that has been rather dead spiritually and moribund for a number of years, when Christ comes in, there is embarrassment. There's awkwardness. There is a division among the people because of him. That's what he said. This is not my opinion. This is what he said. And that sword is the fruit of his baptism. Let me tell you two brief stories in closing of how this kind of thing can work in churches. Two churches in the south of Scotland, they'd been kind of running into the sand for a number of years. They'd been getting rather lifeless and dead and moribund. These two churches were blessed by two very dynamic young preachers. And they gathered folk round them for the sake of gospel ministry. And in one church, after a while, one man was heard to say to his neighbor, "You know, this church has been ruined with all these Christians." What a pity that a church is ruined when there are Christians in it. And in the second church, a man came to the minister and he said, These are his very words. This is not an invention. You are spoiling our church with your Bible. Our church and your Bible. There was a division among the people because of him. The fire of judgment, the baptism of death, sword of division, the fire and the sword are the byproducts of his baptism. Let me make it personal. Fire of judgment. Will you allow yourself to be purged today by it? The baptism of death. Will you come today to this man who went under the billows and the waves for your sake? The sword of division. And as he comes, and as his sword divides, there's no need to force it. It happens naturally. Will you take a stand for Jesus today as a true and a living Christian? The only time to do it is now. Tomorrow's no good. Next week's no good. You know the well-known story. The devil set a competition to all the demons. A prize would go to the demon who did the best work. One demon said, I'll tell them all that the gospel is a lot of nonsense, fairy tales, mythology. That's no good, said the devil. Second one said, I'll fill the gutters and the brothels and the bars and the bingo halls. That's no good, said the devil. A third demon said, I'll tell them there's plenty of time. There isn't plenty of time. The only time to come to Christ is now. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Fire of judgment, the baptism of death, and the sword of division. Who will take a stand for Jesus today? Amen. May God bless the preaching of his word. To his name be honor and praise. Now it's a long time since we sang these fine words by Horatius Bonar, minister of Finister Church in Glasgow. 104, lovely tune, evening hymn. Let's miss out the third verse because it's rather long. By the cross of Jesus standing, love our straitened souls expanding, taste we now the peace and grace. Missing out the third verse.